When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can we let that song go for just an extra minute, please? I wanted to bring the song up last week. I meant to bring the song up last week. The problem is, I don't hear it in my head. Like, even just now when I did that, I don't hear it. I just tricked you because I'm great. But I liked it. It made me laugh. It made me giggle. But I do think it's worth, like, mentioning and bringing up because it's just kind of a... I don't know, if you're not ready for it, I feel like it's like I didn't expect that song. So what's up? Welcome to Chris 3, episode 2. I didn't quit yet. I'm still here. If you don't know me, that's a big deal. I'll pull the plug on something crazy fast. So I'm happy that I'm still doing it. I wanted to talk about something today that's super unlike me while I'm doing things I don't normally do, like continuing on. Manifestation. It's something that I hear a lot about, and it's apparently the key to all things and whatever. So, but I see both sides of it. You know, I hear both sides of these conversations of like, shut up and go to work. It's not about manifesting. It's about doing. And then, you know, thinking positive, nothing can be bad about thinking positive. Right. I'll argue later on that maybe there is, but, it's just one of these things that I hear about a lot. And I found this piece of, I guess, a recording, from a while ago, from 1963, that brought me to this idea of how it's just all you hear, and it's like the knee jerk of somebody that wants to give you, you know, life advice, and it can be exhausting, honestly, to hear about it, especially when things aren't going well. I don't want to lie; like, I feel like a podcast is one of those things, or in my case, maybe a TV show could be one of those things where you're like, oh, everything's got to be great for them and whatever. And it's just not the case. You know, like a lot of bad things happen. And the last thing that you, and I don't mean like bad, like, oh, feel bad for me. I mean like real life bad things that, you know, there's been plenty of times where work doesn't go well at all. So many other things we'll get into later on. But, and that's always the thing is you should just feel better and think positive, and it's hard. So I wanted to dig into it because I heard this piece that made me look at it and say, okay, that's manifesting. That's somebody that really believes what the hell they're doing, in a way that's borderline psychotic, and a way that was underappreciated for someone that's so celebrated. So I think that's interesting too. So I want to get into that. First, I want to do a quick little manifestation kind of recap for those of you that, I mean, everyone knows what it is, but just kind of what I've kind of understood to be what people always refer to me. You know, think positive. You think about thinking positive. That's the secret, right? The secret, Thomas, all the way to Thomas the Train. I think I can, right? Was that him? Was that a different, that's the little engine that could. But you know what? Thomas was a positive guy too, I think. And if he wasn't, he made a name for himself either way. Oprah was big on that stuff, right? Positive thinking, The Rock. You can't go on that guy's Instagram without him telling you about, you know, when he had $7 and blah, blah. That's one element, right? And then you hear visualization. You always hear. I'm a big UFC fan. So Conor McGregor is a great example. There's a guy named Leon Edwards, the example as well. Both of them, when they won their first championships, they had these kind of freak knockouts. One in the very beginning of a fight, one at the very end of a fight. And it looked like an accident. And then you see all these training videos later of them training for that exact moment of that exact part of the fight. My God, that's crazy. They really saw that happening. They made it happen because they practiced it so many times, and they knew that if they had just the slightest moment to do it, one right away and one later, they could seize that. Jim Carrey, I think, wrote a check for himself for like $10 million or something. And then later, this might just be something you read on a website, but this isn't like the topic, so I can dig into it. But, you know, he wrote himself a check for like $10 million, and later that was his advance on a movie or something. And the check for himself was when he didn't have money, and it was for, you know, being a comedian or something. other things you hear about a lot are believing in yourself, believing something is going to happen, or just believing you hear in business a lot, you know, stand behind your product, your convictions and things like that. Business people a lot of the time bore me, so I don't have so many examples. Lady Gaga's a good example of that, right? If you're willing to wear fucking meat to, I don't remember what it was, but she wore meat and weirder stuff than meat, right? It was always something with her for a long time. And now you see her doing the opposite, right? Because she's, in my opinion, I think created this avant-garde kind of thing people like. And now I forgot what the Oscars, I guess she was just like a, you know, no makeup probably makeup that looks like no makeup once you're at that level of, you know, Oscars and all that, dressed down. And, you know, that's believing in yourself, whether you're doing way too much or way too little. You're believing you're putting something out there, that you could stand behind. I also hear a lot about being delusional. I don't mean like in my regular life, that I do hear a lot, but I mean, when it comes to manifestation, you hear about, words of affirmation and delusion. I hear a lot where you need to really, I guess, disillusion yourself from what your reality is and start living a different one. Jimmy Fallon, I'm like almost positive I'm not making this up. I did a quick little look. I hear so many stories, second, third hand, about, and videos I've seen of him, like interviewing his sister or somebody on the couch, like just so ready and making jokes and doing stand-ups. And at a young age, you see a lot of that, stand-up kids and you know, people doing Eddie Murphy and Raw or Delirious, one or the other. He was like 6 years old in the first video. It's a reenactment, but it looks where he's doing stand-up routines. It's clearly, you know, when you're not just speaking it, you're taking yourself out of the life you live and putting it into a different one. And that brings me to what I came across. And I know everybody knows Muhammad Ali. Everybody knows, you know, that just the king of confidence and all that stuff. And obviously one of the greatest boxers of all time. I don't know. If you ask him, he'll say the greatest. I don't know boxing like that enough to say. But what I do know, in 1963, he put out an album, a live music album, 47 minutes long, 12 songs. Each one was dedicated to knocking out Sonny Liston, who he had a fight planned with, fight scheduled with, I should say, later that year. So at the time, he's Cassius Clay. It's his first championship fight ever. So I want you to, like, you know Ali, like Will Smith played him in a movie, right? He could be on Money one day. So try to disassociate that and think about just some 22-year-old kid. He won a gold medal in Rome, but apparently he just barely won it. 22 years old. And he's an 8-1 underdog. He's fighting Sonny Liston, who apparently is like, he was a Missouri State Penn where he learned the box. So you're talking about mean. He's a champion. Apparently he had mob ties. Just a tough dude. He doesn't lose every single fight he had. I think I have this later on in some other notes, but every fight he ever had or the previous five were like under a combined 5 minutes or something like that. And nobody even wanted to fight him. So it became really difficult to even book a fight. So they find Cassius Clay at the time, who's now obviously Muhammad Ali. But for those that don't know, I mean, Chris 3101 there, that was obviously his name prior to becoming Muhammad Ali and converting to Islam. So everyone kind of knows the name. He's an up-and-comer, but he's a sacrificial lamb. You're just going to get a guy to fight the champ because you got to sell tickets, to the point where the New York Times didn't even cover it. So again, like, you know Muhammad Ali, but don't right now. The New York Times said, this isn't even worth covering. This kid's going to get slaughtered. So what does he do? He puts out an album, a live album with a poetry album called I Am the Greatest. And you associate that with him now, right? Like, if I name this episode I Am the Greatest, you know what this episode's about. So I listen to it, and you can listen to it too. It's on iTunes, it's on YouTube, whatever. It's super entertaining. It's really fun. But I want to read you the track listing real quick. So there's 12 tracks, the first eight of which are called rounds, because he says in a 12-round fight, he's only going to need eight of them. So there's three tracks and eight rounds, right? Four tracks, eight rounds. Numbers, you know. Round one is called I Am the Greatest. Round two, I Am the Double Greatest. Round 3, do you have to ask? Round 4, I've written a drama. Round 5, will the real Sonny Liston please fall down? Round 6, funny you should ask. Round 7, 21-38. Round 8, the knockout. And then there's an after piece that says, see round 1, which is I Am the Greatest. And number 10 is called I Am the Greatest. This album, you could probably guess, is called I Am the Greatest. But 1, 2, 3, 4, looks like 5 times. And it's constantly repeated throughout the performance in a not exhausting way. It's really entertaining. It's the very first thing he says. He comes out, I am the greatest. He says, I would normally try to do the impression, but I'm not even going to try. He's just too charismatic, and I don't have that. So, and everyone laughs, right? So, like, imagine, like, I mean, it's his catchphrase eventually, right? It's the thing that everyone knows him as. It's his nickname. And everyone's kind of laughing at him. 200 people showed up to this, by the way. So I'm assuming by the time he was done with his career, 200 people were just following him like Forrest Gump everywhere he walked. But 200 people showed up to this concert. And he does this whole song called I Am the Greatest, where he's a dragon slaying a knight in like a Shakespearean play. He's insulting him, calling him old. He was 30. Apparently he was older than that, but calls him fat. He calls him disrespectful for even taking this fight. He's just going after him the whole time. So now he starts to go into the recording and he's talking about, he gets more and more into it, talking about how he's the greatest and all that. And you kind of start to hear the crowd go from laughing to like kind of start to believe it a little bit more. And he starts to tell them things like out of his 20 fights, he predicted the 13 of the outcomes, the round that they would end. Round 7, which was the album, not at the fight, but he predicts a few other things, that there'd be a Cassius Clay Day one day. There's currently a Muhammad Ali Day in multiple states and in major cities, that he would live to be 170 years old. Obviously, that's a joke, but he'd be celebrated as American icon, which he most certainly is. He said he'd had 93 kids named all after him. I wrote that down because George Foreman like did that. I'll look into how many, but I think he had like 6 or 7 kids all named George Foreman. Said he would retain the title after he won for 8 years. And 7 years later, he did. It was 8 years after the statement, though, that he actually held on to the belt after he won it. And then said that he would be inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame and they wouldn't need to make a bust because he'd be there to accept it. And that happened also. So pretty cool stuff. And it gets nominated for a Grammy. So what happens? Liston, they're saying he didn't really train that hard. He's gonna win. It's gonna be easy for him. Clay goes out, and he beats him in I think I have it here, 7 rounds. He was off by a round, and Liston threw in the towel. Ali had some problems with his eye. Sorry, I'm gonna go in and out with the Ali and Clay thing. It's just hard for me to. I'm trying to do Clay for historical context, but it's really hard for me to not call him Muhammad Ali, and so. You have this guy who goes out, and he did a few other things, right? So he's an underdog fighting at the time one of the best fighters of all time. And he's confident enough to do a concert where he's going out and he's telling every single round he's going to beat his ass in Shakespearean times, in current days. And at the end, he just sings Stand By Me in a tuxedo, which is just fun. Just a performer and a guy that really believes in himself. He rented a bus, and he would drive to Liston's house. And on like a megaphone, tell me he wants to fight him on the lawn at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And there was race problems there because he lives in like an all white neighborhood and he got like in trouble in his neighborhood and all these other kinds of things. You had all these other issues with the weigh-in. Now you watch a boxing weigh-in. If you watch a UFC weigh-in, it's such a spectacle, right? You have to shove each other and you have to get in each other's faces, make each other flinch and whatever. This was the very first example of that. Ali got fined, I think, $2,500 for he didn't get physically in touch him, but he was saying all kinds of crazy stuff, right? He's talking all kinds of shit. He was calling him a bear. He said he smelt like a bear. I don't know if in 1963 a bear is the worst thing you could be. He called him a bear like 15 times. I wouldn't want to fight a bear. Like, if you're asking me, I don't want to fight a bear. So I don't think that's the worst thing you could have been called, but that's not up to me, is it? So he also... So now again, Liston, he's 8 out of the top 10 heavyweights. He keeps saying that he's going to beat this guy, no problem. And Ali just keeps talking, and he finally hits him with float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. which is no one's ever heard him say that before, right? So now imagine again, like, what have you heard in the making of this fight? You have a guy screaming, "I am the greatest. I'm going to be celebrated. I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame. Everyone's going to know me. There's going to be, it's not about boxing. I'm going to be way bigger than boxing. I'm going to win Grammys, Oscars, Emmys, everything. And in the process, I'm also going to knock out the toughest boxer in the world right now." So he goes, and then he hits you with "float like a butterfly, sting like a bee." These are like in our vernacular. And this is all kind of, it feels like a, almost like a, not that this is what Ali was at all, but like a one hit wonder, or like an album that was awesome. Like Meatloaf, right? Like one album you can remember, or Hootie and the Blowfish, where it's like, wow, that's a lot of great stuff to do in a short period of time. And that's how most people know you. Obviously, so many, between what he did for just, you know, human rights and all this other stuff on top of it, besides his sports accolades, are a whole different thing. I'm talking about the things that you really say when you talk about his charisma. A lot of it was born just from this fight, and it really introduced him to the world kind of as we know him today. Quite literally, actually, because he changes his name to Muhammad Ali right after that fight. So what you know about this man and his whole persona was kind of built in the lead up to this fight. So it goes a lot more than just the album. The album's really entertaining because it is, I mean, he's also doing poetry. He had some help from some poets and some playwrights, you know, of the era, but he had a track on there called Will the Real Sonny Liston Please Fall Down. Later on, after he won, this started to kind of, the album kind of recirculates with a B-side, and this is considered, not by me, this is how I found this. I was looking up rap, hip-hop battles, because one of my favorite stories, actually, I'm going to save that for the very end. It's just kind of like my Chris 3 nugget before the next episode, but I was looking up rap battles and rap beefs and maybe see if there was something interesting there, and I stumbled upon that this was actually considered the first rap battle song by a lot of like rap pundits and thing. I don't know what a pundit is, by the way. I don't know what it is. I meant to say that. But that's what they say. So what I'm basically getting at is this is a guy that took manifestation to the next level. It wasn't just saying, this is what I'm going to do for my big thing that I have coming up. This is my life. And a lot of hard work came with it, a lot of dedication with it, and a lot of delusion came with it, because you have to be a little bit insane to do what he did, to rent a bus, to show up to his gym where he trains, knowing that he's got this kind of tough guy background outside of the boxing ring of who he hangs out with and who sponsors him and backs him and all that, and not caring. Renting a bus, you know, calling names, being the first person to make noise at a press conference and get people talking. And, you know, it's a pretty cool way to introduce yourself. And he really became Muhammad Ali in a really short period of time. And he never looked back after that. And I thought, if you want to take a listen to it, I think it's pretty cool. It's fun. So what I'm going to do next is talk about why I think manifestation is bullshit. That's probably the thing that I think is going to make this episode kind of balance out, is to give you this really specific example that I think was completely conceivable, to think that this guy really, he forced the universe to kind of conform to him and be who he wants to be. And it did. I don't think that's something everyone can do. Or maybe it is something everyone could do, but it's not something you do simply for wanting it. And I want to talk a little bit about that in the next kind of piece with a few people. And I want to go more into kind of the downside of these things, because it's not always knocking out Sonny Liston. And I don't think it's the end of the world if you're the one that gets knocked out. You're the one that throws in the towel. Sorry for all the boxing puns. But because that's really the more realistic outcome, because there before this, and there's a lot more examples of people that didn't do that or that didn't succeed with the same mindset. So just a conversation I feel like having. Hopefully, if you want to look into, it's called I Am the Greatest. It's a live recording. It's really entertaining. It shows just a different level of charisma from your athlete. You know, like if you're trying to picture a 22-year-old kid now doing what he's doing, not to say that nobody can, but I don't know that anyone can. I mean, you see, especially in boxing, especially in UFC, I just brought up McGregor. I brought, you know, you think of Mayweather or Tyson was never really that, but you should listen to it. It's just a different level of confidence, and maybe it's easy to believe now because you know what happens. But without knowing what happens, you have to just appreciate the balls that it takes to do something like that. But that's my take on manifesting. Do you want my nugget? I think I promised a hip-hop nugget. So I was looking into a Chris 3, and I still might try to figure an angle out here. If you have any ideas, reach out to me. But do you know Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang? For those of you that don't, you do. It's a song that goes to hip, hop, hippie. I don't know how long I'm allowed to do that till I get sued. So when that song came out, it was so popular that people started rushing to stores and they didn't know the name of it. So they were like, is that the hip hop song? Can I get that hip hop song? Do you have the hip hop song? And they literally created a genre because of how popular their hook was. I wanted to make a full hour out of that story. I couldn't figure out how, and it led me to this Muhammad Ali thing. But there you go. Go blow someone's mind with that. Sorry it's not dogs and monkeys fighting. Thank you for listening. I'm going to have I'm not going to bullshit you. I don't know exactly who's coming. I invited like 6 people to do this thing with me today. No one's here yet. They might all be, I don't know. So I got some fun people coming up to talk about manifestation, their experiences with it, and failure, because I think that's important to talk about too, because it's something everyone does. So appreciate you for listening. I'll see you on the other side.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.